TJ.
Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, obviously, I am not Chuck and Julie. My name is Mark Griffith, and I am guest hosting for them today because Chuck is having some surgery. And so I want to start the show by just saying a quick prayer for Chuck and his doctors. All right. Father, we ask that you would watch over Chuck and Julie as he enters this procedure. Give wisdom and skill to the doctors that are caring for him. And I pray that they would find everything they're looking for and that he would be well. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let me see here. If you want to join the show by Zoom, the Zoom number is 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423. You go to the Zoom app on your phone or your computer and put in that number and you'll be invited to the meeting. Obviously, you can watch. Most of you are probably watching at chuckandjulie.com. If you want to call the show, which I welcome, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to play some bumper music just because I love music. And so we'll be doing that. The first thing I want to talk about is just to touch on the virus, the Red Chicom virus. Now, this thing bit me pretty hard the Monday of Thanksgiving week. I got up and I had all the symptoms, fever. I didn't have a cough, but no smell and taste and a massive headache, massive fatigue. I mean, I felt like a piece of iron and my bed or chair was a magnet. And that lasted for about 4 weeks. Now, my wife works in the healthcare industry and she didn't want to be missing any work. So we got online to speakwithanmd.com. You can also go to americasfrontlinedoctors.com. And we got an appointment with a physician out of state because Colorado is one of the 7 or 8 states where it's just impossible to get hydroxychloroquine prescribed. And we got hydroxychloroquine prescribed, but I have hypertension, so they could not prescribe the azithromycin with it. I've been taking zinc and vitamin D and vitamin C for months. So the hydroxychloroquine didn't help me, but it immediately, my wife got symptoms in 12 hours after she took hydroxychloroquine. Her symptoms were gone. She self-quarantined for 10 days and then she was back to work. Finally, at Christmas time, I decided I'd had enough because it was just miserable. So I went down to Murdoch's and I got me some horse warmer medicine called ivermectin. It's basically a 98% cure for the COVID. And I took the appropriate amounts. I didn't take the whole tube because it's for a 1,200-pound horse, but it's safe. In fact, a lot of people don't know this, but hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are both over-the-counter meds in most of the rest of the world, except the European nations and America. In most of the developing world and parts of the developed world, you can go into the filling station and when you get your gas or to the 7-Eleven and you can get hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. They're both over 50 years old. They're extremely safe. But in America, since we have a very, very corrupt FDA and CDC and National Institutes of Health, they're all corrupted by what else? Mammon, by money. A lot of people don't know this, but about 2/3 to 3/4 of all the revenue for the FDA does not come from tax dollars. It comes from fees that the large pharmaceutical companies pay the FDA. Now, if 3/4 of your funding depended on large pharmaceuticals and you work for the FDA, you'd want to make sure that those large pharmaceuticals were profitable, wouldn't you? Otherwise, you would regulate yourself right out of business. So that's why the FDA and the CDC and other corrupt people like Fauci have downplayed the magical, wonderful health effects of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin is because there's no profit in it. They're both generic drugs that you can get a treatment. I paid $4 for the ivermectin I bought at Murdoch's, and I got well right away. Now, it just so happens that the virus has continued to kind of chase me around from time to time. I've had mostly headaches. I've had a lot of bad headaches 2 or 3 days a week, and I've never have headaches since I was a kid. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm going to buy some more and take some more ivermectin. You can take it as a prophylaxis. I need to read up on how to do that. But are we got any callers? I don't know how this works. I guess somebody will tell me. Okay. I don't even know if I'm unmuted. I guess I'm okay. Okay. All right. So let me give the number again, 888-627-6008. If you want to call the show, I'm doing the show from my home office. As you can see, I love to read. I love books. And I've read most of the books that you see behind me. I did not purchase these books by the foot. Now, let me tell you what that means. There's a lady in Maryland that runs a company where she furnishes offices, studios, or home libraries with books by the foot. Now, let me tell you what that means. If you want, let's say you're decorating your house and you want to look smart, you want to look like you're well read, rather than actually buying all these books from Amazon over years and spending thousands of dollars that my wife wishes I wouldn't do, you can go to her and say, I need 25 feet of books. And she'll say, what emphasis? Do you want the classics? You want law? You want medicine? And then she delivers to your house enough books to fit 25 feet of shelves. As you can see, I've got a bookshelf over there and I've got three here. I've probably got, I don't know, 150 feet of books. Plus there's books in every room in my house. But her business has been booming during this shutdown, this lockdown, because all the smart people in the Beltway and in New York City who used to do their TV gigs from CNN's office studios or from Fox's studios, now they're doing it at home. And guess what? They want to look smart. They want to look like they've read things. So they order books by the foot and they put them behind them. It's amazing. So a lot of the people that you see on news, the cable news shows that are experts, they don't know diddly squat. They're just talking out of their mm-hmm. So keep that in mind the next time you see somebody talking in front of a set of books. Now, that's not to say all of them are like that. I'm sure people like, you know, Alan Dershowitz and Thomas Sowell, these people are brilliant. But anyway, that's just, I thought you would enjoy that little talk. Now, I saw on Twitter about 2 weeks ago, there's a guy named David Burge. He goes by the name of Iowa Hawk Blog. He's hilarious. He's great on Twitter. And, you know, this was when people were, Fauci was saying, yeah, you ought to wear two masks. And now maybe three and get the job done. And he said, I've achieved immortality. I'm wearing 17 masks. As if the more masks we wear, the longer we'll live or we can live forever. Masks are useless, folks. Masks are for three categories of people. They are for sick people that have been infected with some type of virus. They are for health professionals in certain close quarters situations where they're dealing with patients. And they're for people who are at a very high risk of dying or being hospitalized if they get whatever virus is floating around. All three of the world's major medical journals, Lancet in London, Journal of American Medical Association, and New England Journal of Medicine, all until March of 2020, had multiple researched, sourced pieces by health professionals and scientists who basically said the same thing. Sick people, health professionals in certain situations. Obviously, health professionals don't walk around the halls of a hospital with the masks on. They just do it in surgery or maybe when they're tending to someone who's sick. And then the third category of people is people who are at a high risk. In this case, it would be old people and people with other comorbidities. All of them at the bottom said healthy people should not wear masks. Well, somehow in April and May of 2020, they flipped that. And all of them said, oh, no, we've discovered that wearing masks is now a big health benefit, which really, when you think about it, makes no sense. This virus, what little we know about how it's transmitted, is not some magical new virus. It's a spinoff of a cold virus. That's why it's called a COVID. It's COVID-2. It's a novel coronavirus. So it's spread the same way other viruses are spread, usually by aerosol. And they haven't learned, what I'm saying is, in the last 11 months, we haven't somehow magically learned something new about how viruses are spread. So the mask thing is a way to control us. It's a way to dehumanize us. It's a way to keep us separate. It drives me nuts when I go into to stores and people are wearing masks. They want me to wear a mask. And I'm like, I've had the COVID. I'm vaccinated. That's another thing that we're being lied to about. There's been give or take about 90 million cases, positive cases of the COVID worldwide since this started in September of 2019. 90 million cases. Do you know how many suspected reinfections there's been? 31. So that means I have a better chance of going out here and winning Powerball 2 weeks in a row than I do of getting reinfected with the COVID. All right. And of those 31, there's a lot of question about whether or not those people actually had the COVID the first time, because the testing has been wildly unreliable. Both the testing for the virus, it gives false positives, false negatives. You probably heard that Elon Musk, richest guy in the world, he decided to get tested here about a month and a half, 2 months ago. He got four tests the same day. Same test, the best test, two negative, too positive. What do you think about that? All right. So the masks is about control. It's not about health. Let me give you another example. In all the states and municipalities where mask compliance is above 90%, in other words, you've got nearly uniform compliance in places like California and New York City and New Jersey, upwards of 97, 98% of people wear masks. In places like Florida and Texas, Oklahoma, South Carolina, very few people wear masks, especially in rural areas. Where do you think they have more cases? That's right. In the places where there's higher mask compliance. Give you an example right here at home in Colorado. My wife and I were taking a little vacay in September up in Steamboat, Yampa River Valley, one of the most beautiful places on earth. Love the Yampa River Valley. But I'll never go back to Steamboat. You couldn't do anything in that town without a mask on. I remember we were going into a restaurant with outdoor seating on an evening. It was beautiful. And everybody sitting at the tables, nobody had their mask on. But they wanted me to wear a mask to walk 10 feet to my table. We went down to Moffitt County. Steamboat is the county seat of Rout County. Okay, it's where a ski resort is. We did a visit to Craig, Colorado. It's the county to the west, Moffitt County. It's more rural. We went down there. Nobody's wearing a mask. Nobody was wearing masks. I saw maybe 10 people in the whole town the 24 hours we were there. So I decided to do a little checking with Colorado Department of Health. Guess which county has three times as many cases? That's right. Rout County, where they wear masks everywhere. And Moffitt County had one-third the cases. We're not following the science, folks. We're following edicts. So I often said when I had my radio show, I had a show for about 15 months on 560 KLZ. I learned that from mostly from this, but also from watching the cancel culture and so on. With all due respect to Albert Einstein, who famously said the greatest power on earth is compounded interest. And I would take issue with him and say that the greatest power on earth is actually peer pressure. Peer pressure is something we think of as, well, that's junior high or high school. No, folks, we all are subject to peer pressure in some form or another. Most people are more subject to it than others. Peer pressure doesn't do much for me because I've always been kind of a, let's just say it, an a-hole. And I don't like to go along with the crowd. I like to make my own decisions. I like to read and figure things out, and then I decide what's best. But most people, the last thing in the world they want to do is stick out like a sore thumb. They don't want to be noticed. They don't want to go against the flow. That's why I fear for the future of our country, because our forefathers, the people who founded our country, they were willing to stand up, take a stand against injustice and being wronged and do physical violence. There's a Revolutionary War involved killing people and breaking things. And unless we're willing to do that again, the people who are running things in Washington and at the state level, they're not going to be stopped. I'm going to talk to you after the break. We're going to take a break real quick right here. Just play some music. I just love to hear music. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about human nature, the desire for most people in the world to be taken care of rather than to take care of their own needs. And I'm going to tie it to the Bible, the story of Exodus. And I'm going to talk about what happened on January 6th and why it was not the worst thing in the world. All right, so TJ, hit my music for me, and I'll be back in about 20 or 30 seconds, folks. All right, we are back on the Chuck and Julie Show. I am not Chuck, and I'm certainly not Julie. My name is Mark Griffith. I'm filling in. Chuck's got a minor procedure going on today. We said a little prayer for him at the top of the show. If you want to call in and have something to say, our phone number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You can join the show by Zoom by going to the meeting 209-576-423. All right. I was going to talk to you about in my Bible reading today, I'm doing the read through the Bible in a year where you read a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, Psalms, and a Proverbs. And today I'm in right in Exodus. I'm right where the children of Israel were basically kicking ass and taking names and getting out of Egypt. Actually, God was doing all that, and they were just following along. But for those of you who know the Bible, you're going to know this story, but maybe not. You might have forgotten, but there's a lesson here. God performed nine plagues that ended with the Passover, where the firstborn of every family and every animal family were killed if you didn't have the blood on your doorpost, on your lamppost or whatever. You had to have a lamb's blood on there. And that way the angel of death would pass over. But he didn't pass over any of the Egyptians' houses. And so they lost all the firstborn males of their families. All right? And that's when, you know, Pharaoh said, take off, get out. In fact, if you read the story, you'll know that the Egyptians were so glad to be rid of the Israelites, they gave them gold and silver. They gave them coins and dishes and precious metals just to get them out. Well, they weren't even hardly on the outskirts of town, and they started complaining. They were between the sea and Pharaoh's army because Pharaoh, his heart was hardened by God. And so he decided, let's cheer it up. Let's get our army, and we're going to go chase them down and bring them back because they're our slaves. They do all our work for us. Well, they get out there, and the children of Israel, they got no memory, no institutional memory. They start complaining, and here's what they said. This is in Exodus 14, 11 through 12. 11 and 12. So they saw Pharaoh and his army, and they were fearful, the children of Israel. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, they were being sarcastic. If you recall, ancient Egypt was a death cult. That's why we have the pyramids. They were built around death. They celebrated past generations' funeral deaths. That's why they made such a big deal out of tombs, right? So here's what the children of Israel said. Because there's no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the world that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. They had no faith that God was, you know, he's going to do all that plague stuff and kill all the firstborn of them of the family of Egypt, Egyptians, get them out of there, and then let them die on the outskirts of town. That's not what happened. We all know that God opened the part of the Red Sea, and they went out on dry land, and then the Egyptians followed them into the Red Sea, and God closed the waters and killed, and not a single Egyptian soldier survived. But I'm trying to paint a story here of how people want to be taken care of rather than be responsible for their own selves. Chapter 15, verse 24. They got into the wilderness, and they didn't have anything to drink or eat. And they murmured against Aaron and Moses. Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt when we sat by flesh pots. In other words, we had plenty of meat to eat. And when we did eat bread in the full, we had all we want. But he brought us into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly. They didn't have any faith, right? We all know God solved it. And there's two more verses where they murmur. They complain there's no water, no food. So what does God do? He gives them quail and he gives them mammon. Okay, the quail was a temporary thing, but he gave them mammon every day for the entire 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. And listen, God knew who he was dealing with. He was dealing with a stubborn people. If you recall, they could have just gone right across the north edge of the Sinai from northern Egypt and right into Canaan. It's like a day's walk. They didn't do that. God took them out into the wilderness of Sinai Peninsula, and a lot of people believe into the Arabian Peninsula. That's what I believe, because there's a mountain in Arabia that's called Abraham's Mountain. That's probably Mount Sinai, but story for another day. But he knew that if he took them right into Canaan, that they would want to be going back to Egypt. You know why? Because the Canaan was filled with Philistines and Hittites and all the other ites, and they were all warrior people. And he knew they weren't going to be ready to fight war right after leaving Egypt. He needed to prepare them. So that's why he took them through Egypt. My point is that we look around today, and I'm just flabbergasted. I'm going to get to my caller in just a second, but I'm just flabbergasted at the people who say, yeah, just as long as the government takes care of me, I'll wear the mask. I mean, every time I go into a store and they say, put a mask on, and I say, I've already had the COVID, I'm not contagious. Here's another fact for you, folks. The vaccines are between 75 and 95% effective, if you believe what they say. I don't. I don't think you can develop a vaccine in a year and have it be 95% effective. I mean, for goodness sake, we've had the flu vaccine for, what, 40-something years? And it's only between a third and 50% effective. In a good year, it's about 60% effective. But they develop these vaccines that are 95% effective. Let's just say that's true. Do you know what the effectiveness is of having the COVID? I just told you. It's 31 out of 90 million. That means it's basically, it's fail-safe. If you've gotten the COVID, you're not going to get it again for some period of time. We don't know how long that is because we haven't been dealing with this thing very long. But when I go into stores and people say, put a mask on, I try to tell them, look, it's not about the mask, folks. And I just ask them, how long are you willing to wear that thing? And their answer always is some variation of, as long as they tell me to. And I ask them, what if they say, you know what, we got to wear these things the rest of your lives? They always say, I don't care, as long as it keeps me safe. We're lost. All right, we got a caller. Just one caller? Oh, I thought I'd have more callers. All right, Barney, what do you got for us today?
Well, first off, Mark, the mask thing kind of blows me away because the mask that these people are wearing, it's a nasty item on their face. They're constantly touching it. It's not saving you. And I will tell you this, McDonald's in Cheyenne, they told me to put a mask on. I told them I'll put it on, but it's going to make me puke. I'm going to puke right here in your lobby, and they didn't make me wear it. So that worked. And then I bought a package of Hanes underwear, and I started wearing those on my face. And actually, that went over pretty good. I actually had a lady that was super offended in Oklahoma City over that. But I don't know.
Barney,
I just do it where I absolutely have to.
Barney, hold on. Barney, I don't know where you're getting research, but Hanes will not stop the virus. You got to have Fruit of the Loom.
Okay? I know that, buddy. I did it to offend people. It's like, well, then, you know, you think these are clean or dirty. I don't know. I did it to offend them. But I agree. I know. The mask is just a control thing.
You know, I've heard a lot of people, Christians, say, you know what? Just wear it because it makes other people feel safe. You know what, though? We're called to bring truth to the world, not to live lies. You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he famously said, live not by lies. And that's how we're living. And as long as we have Christians and conservatives who are just willing to go along in order to get along, that's exactly what we complain about the retards, Republicans in Congress and the Senate. That's what they've been doing for 40 years. Yeah. I call them the Surrender Caucus. Yeah.
They've actually been doing that.
I try to be polite about it. I was in a Costco over in over by Park Meadows the other day, and they try to make me wear a mask. And I said, look, you know, I gave them all the reasons. They didn't care. And the main guy was this guy who was probably 100 pounds overweight. He was about 5'8" and he probably went 270. And he literally was wearing a mask down here under his nose. And the mask was one of those blue surgical masks, but it was gray in the middle from all the touching.
So dirty. It was dirty.
Gross.
Yeah.
So I just said, hey, dude, first of all, you're not wearing your mask properly. Why are you telling me to wear one when you're not even wearing yours? And he pulled it up over his nose, and it fell back down. Now, since I was kind of loud about this, a crowd had formed, and there was about 10 employees and about 20 customers. They were all there kind of cheering him on, like, throw this bum out. He's going to kill us all. And I just said, when's the last time you changed that mask, dude? That thing's filthy. And he goes, I don't care. Yeah. For most people, it's just about obeying the rules. They don't want to think. I read a story. I should have printed it up. But there was a great story the other day in one place where I read where we've basically spent two or three generations of making our people not just want to think. They can't think. When I was giving my statistics to these crowd and to this guy about number of people in the world that have had the virus, how many reinfections there have been or how little there have been. Same thing when I was talking to a school teacher about how the number of people under the age of 15 that have died from the COVID is like less than 100 in a country of 325 million. And yet we got all our schools closed. She's like, no, I don't care. Those little urchins are going to, you know, give me the COVID and I'll die. People don't just want to think. They can't. They've lost the ability to use reason and rationality to work through problems. And as Dennis Prager often says, I love to listen to Dennis, the things that most frightens me are irrational people. Because here's the problem. When a majority of a culture or society becomes irrational and unthinking, they will turn on the rational. Because we're a threat to them.
That's what they're doing.
Because we're running around. We're not scared. What do you think, Barney?
I think you're exactly right, as usual. So,
Well, that, you know, well, we need to record that and play that at the top of the show every time. You were right.
Well, that only lasts for this show. Maybe next show, another one. I'm in
Laramie.
Where
are you at, Barney? Laramie.
All right. Laramie, Wyoming. Yeah.
Is the front come through there yet?
It has, and then there's another one coming. So,
yeah,
it's Waco. I'm going to take a load out there. So.
It was 65 degrees and sunny about 3 hours ago, and now it's cloudy, and the temperature's dropped probably 20 degrees. So we're supposed to get a little snow on. Well, Barney, anything else before we close out?
No, buddy. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks, Barney. So to the Capitol. On January 6th, you know, the insurrection. Folks, let me tell you what happened. I've watched lots of videos. I've read firsthand accounts of people who were there. Michael Yon was there. Michael Yon is a guy who, I'm not even going to go into it, but he's a very trustworthy source. His name is spelled Y-O-N. You can look him up on the internet. He did great reporting out of Afghanistan and Iraq during the wars there. He would go embedded with frontline special forces and SEAL teams. So he was right up front. He used to be a special forces guy in the 80s and 90s before he got out and started doing journalism. And then he spent a year in Hong Kong kind of documenting those protests and that civil unrest. He spent the last 6 or 7 months in Portland going undercover to get kind of the bingo on Antifa, to get the inside scoop. Well, he was in Washington. And all the top people of Antifa were in that crowd at the Capitol. Here's what happened. Antifa, we have numerous accounts of people, regular American, you know, MAGA people, who would get off their buses that were being bussed into the deal, and they said there'd be another busload of people up here, and it was all young males. They all had backpacks. They all had something that looked like a truncheon or a baton, some kind of weapon. They had shields. And they would take out of their backpack MAGA clothing and put it over their solid black clothing. They had helmets. There was about 150 or 200 of them. Those are the ones that breached the Capitol. Here's another thing. The Capitol Police knew they were coming. They let them in. This was all a false flag operation by the Democrats. Now, you may think I'm crazy as a loon, but I don't care. I do my research. I know. Was breached by these people. The MAGA people came from the rally. President Trump was still speaking. People were not at the Capitol for the most part when it was breached. It was breached while he was still speaking. He delayed his speech about 20 minutes. I think he knew what I'm telling you. Anyway, they encouraged, once the doors were open, you can see peaceful Trump supporters, pro-Trump people, milling about in the Capitol, staying within the velvet ropes. The people doing all the damage, the violence, there were a few nut jobs like the guy with the Viking hat, but he just took selfies in Nancy's chair. He didn't do any damage. The people who did the damage and who actually attacked police officers were Antifa types. All right? Anyway, a few hundred pro-Trump people went in, took a tour of the Capitol, and the reaction is so predictable. The Democrats claimed it was the Republic was threatened, which is not true. And of course, our Surrender Caucus Republicans, they condemned it high and low. I mean, Marco Rubio and all the rest of those people got their panties in a wad, and they just, oh, this is so bad, and you know. Prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. And they're going to make examples of those people. They're not going to prosecute probably the Antifa people. They're going to release them. But they're going to prosecute your good average American who was just strolling through the Capitol after the thing had already been breached. There is a couple of good things to come out of it. It scared the people that represented us. It scared them to death. If you look at some of the videos of them hiding under their desks and there's some old people that were walking through there. They weren't threatening. Have you ever been to a Trump rally? There's nobody threatening there. The most threatening thing you see at a Trump rally is maybe a biker's tattoo. So anyway, they're going to use that. You know what? TJ, we're going to take our last break just a little early, and I'm going to gather my thoughts, and I'm going to talk to you about why we're going to have to resort at some point to violence. Not now, not disorganized, not chaotic, but if we're going to be free again, and I would argue right now we are not free, we're going to have to do a little Lexington and Concord of our own. So let's take a quick break, hear a little Tom Jones, and I'll be back in 30 seconds. All right. When I had my show, one of my taglines was, you'll come for the bumper music and stick around for the conversation. But this show doesn't lend itself to bumper music because they didn't give any ads to run or anything today. So anyway, I want to thank Chuck and Julie, by the way, for the opportunity to sit in for them. The phone number, if you want to call the show and tell me I'm out of my mind or maybe tell me I'm right, 888-627-6008. You can find Chuck and Julie at chuckandjulie.com. The show airs live at 3 p.m. on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. And you can find past shows, and you can, you know, listen to this one recorded whenever you want to listen when you have time, because a lot of people are working or whatever. All right, so January 6th, worst day in our country's history, worst thing since the Civil War. We've heard all that crap. Let me explain to you some things, folks. First of all, if you're getting your news from Facebook or Twitter, and you're getting it, or you're getting it from Fox, or God forbid, CNN or NBC or any of the other networks, or you're getting it from the Denver Post or anybody else, you are not just getting a perverted view of the world, you're getting an inverted view of the world. They are out there actively lying to you about everything that matters. Okay? Good example. We have lots and lots of research and studies and clinical trials that show that if you take hydroxychloroquine with zinc and azithromycin in the first 5 days that COVID symptoms present, you reduce mortality and hospitalizations by about 50% over people who got a placebo. But if you take ivermectin, they reduce mortality and hospitalizations by 98%. It's almost 100% cure, okay? And ivermectin, the beautiful thing about it is it'll even help people who are in ICU. Hydroxychloroquine is only effective if it's taken early in the disease's symptoms presentation. But ivermectin is good anytime through there. Ivermectin is considered one of the world's five best medicines. Aspirin, penicillin, the smallpox vaccine, and the polio vaccine, and ivermectin are considered the five top meds that help humanity the most. It's been around 50 years. It was originally developed as an anti-parasitical. They use it for people who have head lice. They use it for people who get intestinal parasites. But it also has been found to be effective with other things. And it's insanely cheap. I got mine at Murdoch's. I had to get the horse kind, because you can't get it from a doctor in Colorado because we politicize medicine. But I paid $4 and I took 10% of the dosage and I got better. And that's true around the world. Let's see here. What else? Back to the lies. All right. So we've been lied to about the nature of that insurrection at the Capitol. It was not an insurrection. It was a planned false flag operation. Now, I'm not excusing anybody that did any violence, but I would argue, based on what I know about the character of most people at Trump rallies that the people who did violence were not Trump people. Let me give you an example. Officer Sicknick, we were told, was murdered. He was beaten to death with a sign or a, I forget what. They opened a federal murder investigation. It's been a month now. They can't get any evidence. His family has said he didn't die of blunt trauma. The medical examiner in Washington, D.C., no blunt trauma for Officer Sicknick. We don't know how the man died. He died the day after. Turns out, based on some social media comments by his members of his family, he had other health issues. So it's quite possible he was not murdered by anyone. Believe me, if they could bring out a Trump supporter who was found on video, and we've got all kinds of videos of this, smashing his head in, they would do it. They would even make it up if they could. So everything you're told is not right. Now, I'm going to be starting my own blog and probably a podcast here pretty soon. I don't know how it's going to shape up. If you want to listen to my show or be in contact with me, here's my email. My email is mark@markgriffithshow.com. That's mark@markgriffithshow, G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H, show.com. You can email me. I'll put you into a little folder. And then when I start producing content, I'll let you know and ask you, do you want to be involved? I will not sell your email address or your information, and I'm not going to email you every day telling you some nonsense, only when it's important. But I do a lot of research, and I can link to a lot of good articles and other original content. I've discovered a lot of good sources, both Christian and political, economic, whatever. There's a benefit to loving to read and having a good memory, and I'm blessed by both of those things. My mom gave me a love for reading, and God gave me a pretty good memory. And so I like to kind of sort through a lot of content and then share what I think's important with those that I care about and people that want to know. So if you're interested, mark@markgriffithshow.com. So we talked a little bit about how here's something that's just fun, just kind of a fun fact. Guess how much CNN's ratings have plunged since President Trump left the stage? 44%. Now, Fox, their nosedive happened after the election because of their dishonest way they covered election night with Arizona, calling Arizona, not calling Florida, and so on and so forth. They ran on the whole after the election. And that's another thing. So let me go back to what I said, Lexington and Concord. Folks, we have an FBI that's been completely and totally politicized. And early on during the Russia hoax thing, people would say, oh, it's just a few bad apples at the very top, right? It's just Comey and Brennan and Clapper and Page and Strzok. But it's just a few people at headquarters. That's not it. It's all politicized. It's all corrupted. Because if it wasn't, someone would step out and say, my career is not worth it. I'm going to tell the truth. We haven't had any whistleblowers about the whole Russian collusion thing. We had an FBI lawyer, this Kleinsmith dude, who falsified a document to FISA. That's a felony. They tried to ruin a man's life, Carter Page, who was an informant for the CIA. He was cooperative with the CIA because he was involved with Russia. Every time he'd go to Russia, he'd go to the CIA and tell them what his plans were, who he's meeting with. They'd fill him up with information. They'd say, okay, here's where you ought to talk to. Here's what you ought to look for. Then when he'd come back, they'd debrief him. He was very helpful. And yet the FBI said in a FISA filing that he was an uncooperative in his dealings, that he was basically a Russian spy. And that guy got probation, the guy who falsified that document. No one is being held to account, and no one has whistleblown. Give you an example, another example. I went down to the Back the Blue rally that Randy Corcoran and a bunch of other people held I want to say it was in August, down at the state capitol. I take that back. I didn't go. I talked about it on my show. My show was airing while it was going on. But I watched it on Facebook. I watched it live stream. And if you recall, there were 200 or 300 pro back the blue people, all shapes and sizes. You had ladies with strollers and old people and, you know, all sorts. And there were a couple of hundred Denver cops there in riot gear. And then about 400 Antifa and Black Lives Matter came over and just started beating the living daylights out of the pro police people. And what did the cops do? Not a damn thing. They just stood there. Now, you would say, well, they were given orders, obviously. Mayor Hancock and the chief of police in Denver said, don't help them. But you would think of the 200 police officers, someone in that crowd had a conscience, right? And they would say, wait, that lady over there is getting the hell beat out of her by those two bikers. Well, I should help them. No, no. Every one of those 200 officers has got a mortgage, maybe a couple of kids in college. He's got a car payment. He's living a middle-class life. And if he'd have stepped out and taken action, all of that would have been at risk. He would have lost his job. It would have been very difficult for him to be hired in another police office, district because he didn't follow orders. So we're living in an age where the other side is controlling everything. They control the FBI. The CIA, we know, has spied on Americans. You think that's going to stop now that Biden's in office? No, it's going to get worse. They control the Senate. Listen, the people, the Republicans in the Congress, there's a few heroes, Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, and a few handful of others. But most of them hate Trump more than as much as the Democrats because he upset the apple cart. He upset the way things were done. You think Mitch McConnell, whose wife has a shipping interest with China, has all kind of business interests with China? You think Mitch McConnell wanted what Trump did? No. No. Now, he did what was necessary to keep people like us happy with the judges, right? And he gummed up the works in the Senate so that whatever the House passed wouldn't pass. That was the minimum he could do. But folks, let me tell you something. In early 2017, the people in the Senate, in the know, on the Senate Intelligence Community, they knew that the Russia Steele dossier was a hoax. They knew it was nonsense. They knew it was lies. They knew it was a paid political propaganda for Hillary, paid for by Hillary Clinton and the DNC. I got to let my cat in my window. Here, kitty, kitty. Come on. Sorry about that, but my cat is cold. So open up the window and let her in. So people like Lindsey Graham and Chuck Grassley and other Mike Braun and other worthless individuals in the Senate, they knew from the get-go that what we were seeing Trump get put through, they could have put an end to it. They could have come out publicly, held a news conference and said, we're privy to these secret documents and we know it's all a lie. They didn't. You have to ask yourself, why not? I'll tell you why. Because Trump threatens their interests. You think that Joe Biden is the only one that's got business dealings with a corrupt Ukrainian oil and gas company? Check out Lindsey Graham's travel schedules. He spent a lot of time in Ukraine. Listen, folks, I would say most of them are corrupt and the rest of them are cowards. If you want to see something that's just disgusting, go do a search and don't use Google. Use DuckDuckGo or some other search engine and look up Mike Braun interview with Tucker Carlson. It was last year, about 6, 7, 8 months ago. My goodness, the guy, he is so emblematic of what's wrong with our leadership. They're either corrupt or they're cowards. I mean, there's a few exceptions. I don't think Ted Cruz is corrupt. I don't think he's necessarily a coward. But I think most of them are. So if they weaponized Now, we know they weaponized the IRS. We know they weaponized the EPA under Obama and the FDA and OSHA. They harassed people who were trying to start Tea Party groups back in 2010, 11, 12. Okay. Now we know they've weaponized the FBI. They're only prosecuting. They didn't all the people who did all these riots all last summer, no prosecutions. People died, like 50 people died. Go look it up. Very few prosecutions. And most of them got probation. But they're going to throw the book at these people, these Republican MAGA people that went through the Capitol, and all they did was basically take an unguided tour through there. They're going to get years. There's a guy down in Florida who's a journalist who posted on Facebook. I have it here somewhere. Well, I'll just give you the basics. His name is Doug Mackey. But back in 2016, he was online with a pseudonym on Facebook, and he was posting things like, text your vote, stay at home, you don't have to vote, vote for Hillary by texting Hillary to this number. 4,900 people took him up on his advice and texted Hillary's name to that number. They're charging him with election fraud, some kind of deal. He's facing 10 years in prison, federal prison, for free speech. Now, we know we can go on Twitter and Facebook right now and see dozens, if not hundreds, of examples of Democrats who did the same thing by saying, text your vote for Trump to this number. Those people aren't being prosecuted. Folks, our justice system has been weaponized. It's going to get worse. It is not going to get better. They stole the election right in front of our eyes. I was talking to my nephew, and I said, you know, Paul, I said, you know, we have these graphs in those seven states or six states where between 1 and 3 in the morning or 1 and 6 in the morning, Biden's numbers went vertical. You know, both guys were votes like this. You know, voting is an accumulative process. You should never go down in vote totals, only up, right? Well, about 3 in the morning, Joe Biden's numbers, he was behind Trump in all those states by a significant amount. His vote totals went like this, and Trump's went like this, meaning he got none, and Biden got several hundred thousand. Well, that's an obvious fraud. I mean, it's an obvious example of fraud right in front of you. I said, why would they do that? Why wouldn't they be more subtle about it? They want to rub our noses in it, folks. They know that we know that they stole the election, and they want us to know that they know that. That's a lot of knowing right there, I know, but the point is, if you read Arthur Koestler's Darkness at Noon, or you read 1984, or Brave New World, I recommend all of them. And they are not how-to manuals, folks. They were warnings of a dystopian future. They make the point, you know, when Winston in 1984, they try to make him say that 2 + 2 = 5. And he says, well, wait a minute, it's not, you know, oh, no, 2 + 2 = 4. They want to humiliate us. They want us to say things we know aren't true. That was one of the hallmarks of the Soviet Union. It's one of the hallmarks of communist China. It's one of the hallmarks of Cuba. In every leftist totalitarian state, they're not happy to just dominate us. They're not happy to just control us. They're not happy to make us subservient. They want to humiliate us. Okay? If you look at some of the rhetoric out there, they're talking about reprogramming people who voted for Trump. Folks, that's Orwellian. That's literally what they did in the Soviet Union. That's what they did in the Cultural Revolution in China. They reprogrammed people. That's what they did in Cambodia. They took all the middle-class people out of the cities and took them out in the countryside. The ones they didn't shoot, they re-educated them so that they would believe the right things. That's what they intend for us. Leftists are the same everywhere. Inside every leftist is a totalitarian screaming to get out. And they are out now because they control everything. And if you think, oh, we're going to vote, we'll control the House back in 2022, we might. Won't mean a thing. You think Joe Biden's going to listen to the Congress? He's not running things anyway. You think he's the one that comes out and makes all these executive orders? He thinks those up? Joe's been gone for a while. We're close to the end of the show here. I want to thank you for listening. I want to remind you, if you want to connect with me, and I'm not going to ever broadcast when Chuck and Julie are, because I listen to Chuck and Julie, you can do that by emailing me at mark@markgriffithshow.com, mark@markgriffithshow.com.